There's something for all of us that we've attempted to start, but we maybe have never finished yet, right? Something we started, but we haven't finished. Last season of the church called Lent, some of us decided to give up something for Lent, or maybe take up something new if you did. We mentioned before that our Lenten goal over at the Parsonage was to drink extra water to keep hydrated for helping our bodies, to maybe read 3 Psalms a day to get through all 150 Psalms throughout the period of Lent, and then to go walking together as a couple. We're going to walk for maybe 3 miles to get 10,000 steps a day to keep healthy in body, mind, and soul. We did pretty close. We got through a lot of them. And my wife, Megan, for a gift, even got me a brand new watch that keeps track of every step that you take to make sure that we can do it. We made it all the way through Lent and Easter, and guess what? We're still working on it. I still have more steps to make. I'm still working on my health. I tried, I started, but I still am yet to finish it. Maybe you've been the same way. Maybe you've had a New Year's resolution. And maybe you're still working on it too. It turns out that people, like all of us, are pretty good at starting things, but not so good at finishing. According to a book called Finish, there's a statistic out there that says 92% of people, 92% of people don't finish the goals or resolutions that they set out for themselves. 92%! That's depressing. That's bad. So I guess I should be in good company. Maybe you would be too. Last week, we kicked off what we called the Red Letter Challenge to look at the very words of Jesus in the Bible. And in your Bibles, there's some Bibles that have those red letters in bold in order for us to understand and appreciate Easter even more. We kicked that off last week, and I'm here the next week later because I don't want you to start something and to let it fizzle out quickly. Last week, we identified 5 main targets. If you added up all the words of Jesus in the Bible and the things that he wants us to know and do, there's 5 things, 5 topics at least that we talked about that we're going to try to shoot for. How many of you remember them? Raise your hand. A couple of them out there? Guess what? Here they are for you. Let's sing them out loud. Starting with the top row. Being. Forgiving, serving, giving, and going. If you added up all the words of Jesus, they all have to do with some of those topics. So today, I want to teach you how to not just start something, start maybe a new Bible study, start a devotion, start a challenge, but to finish it as well and to be able to finish it. Because I can't accept and I won't accept that 92% of us will try to do something new in church and won't complete a challenge. The stakes are way too high for us. If you think about it, after all that Jesus, our risen Lord, has done for us, after he's lived, after he's died, after he's risen from the dead to forgive the sins of the world, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want to be the best, absolute best representation of Jesus that we can be in this world? We can't just start, we have to finish. So for each of the next 5 weeks, starting this week, Sunday, the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about those 5 targets by using God's word as Easter people. Here are some of the words that Jesus says, starting us off this week. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "Abide in my word. Be in my word." He says in Matthew 9 to pray earnestly. He says in Luke chapter 4, "Worship the Lord your God." He says in Mark chapter 6, Jesus says, "Come be with me. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Who wouldn't love that? In Matthew 6, Jesus, our risen Savior, says, when you fast, when you give up maybe eating and drinking for a short period of time, we call it breakfast for a reason, anoint your head and wash your face. He expects us to fast occasionally. In Luke 15, he says, finally, let us eat and celebrate. Enjoy the good things of life. It's okay to simply be. And in Mark 2, Jesus says that the Sabbath, the time, the day of rest, it was made for us. It was made for man. All of these words of Jesus are organized around this one theme for you today. Being. At the root of all things, Jesus wants you, he wants us to be with him. He wants us to spend time with him, reading about him, praying with him. Because as his Easter people, as Jesus' followers, Jesus is going to ask us to do a lot of stuff in our lifetime. Jesus expects us to be his witnesses. But you know what? Before we do anything, before we get into any challenges, it's important to know why we're doing the things we do in life. And it's important to know who we're doing the things we do each day for. Scripture says that in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." Many of us don't know how to be. We know how to do, but we struggle with the being. And before we do what Christ asks us to do, we need to be with him. And the healthiest way to follow Christ is to seek him, is to let our doing, our actions, flow out of simply being. So you saw a sneak peek here. I'm going to show you a little sneak peek and take this concept of simply being from the littlest of our church family. Take it from our Bethlehem preschoolers here. They have a few things that they wanted to share.
What do you love about Bethlehem preschool?
That I meet new friends, and I meet like school helpers, and I like to like play with like new friends and stuff.
Very good.
So you've seen from our new preschool director, Michelle Foster, that sometimes it's good to just be with friends. Our littlest preschoolers enjoy that, being around other Christian preschoolers. Here's another example.
What do you love about Bethlehem Preschool?
I love my teachers.
Oh, very nice.
He's a teacher's pet.
What do you learn at preschool about God?
We learned that he died on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
That we should love him.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? And he?
He loves me.
Very good. Good job.
Sometimes it's as simple as us to be a child at heart and know that God loves you. Here's another example of being.
What do you love about chapel time?
Dad, I like singing the chapel song.
Can you think of any chapel songs that we sing?
The Come to Worship song.
Ooh, very nice.
And by the way, our Come to Worship song goes like this. Come to worship, come to worship. And they use their fingers. Father, Son, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. Three in one. You're a kid at heart. I love it. That's what it's all about, friends, to be a kid at heart and to rest in God's arms, to start our challenge by first being with him. Because for me, when I spend time with God, I can't wait to start doing what he says. When I come to worship, when I come to church and I'm with you in worship, I leave so on fire. It gives me fuel to keep going and do the work of the ministry. When I read the Bible, it doesn't take long for me to manifest in me excitement. And pretty soon it becomes like a fire shut up in my bones that I can't contain. I want to just talk. I got to share what God has to say. When I pray, there's a peace that comes over me. I can't even explain it. Maybe that's an experience you have. And finally, when I take those moments to finally rest, and remember all that he's done, there's just a gratitude that overflows from my heart for you as God's people. When I attempt to fast, maybe when I don't eat lunches or take lunch breaks during the day, I actually learn to lean on God more in times of struggling when my belly's churning and remember that he is our provider of daily bread. And so when I rest, I remember it's not about me. I'm centered on the one who created it all. So friends, for you, if you truly want to follow our risen Savior well, it happens in your quiet time with God. I believe that your private battles will determine your public victories. Now take for example, I like certain sports. One of the most elite sports in the world happens to be rowing, like a rowboat. You see it a lot in Ivy League schools that they have strong rowing teams. And the aim of this sport is simple. The first group of rowers that cross the finish line win. It's pretty easy. Just like any other race, the strongest and the quickest always win. However, there is one key difference in the sport of rowing that's not like any other race. In most other sports, the key to winning is keeping your eyes on the finish line. But rowing is different. None of the rowers can see the finish line. In fact, their backs are to the finish line. And the rowers aren't focused on that finish line, but they're focused on that person in the back that's guiding their boat. This person is literally the conductor of the rowing team. This person alone has eyes fixed on the finish line and the other competitors. And the key to winning comes down to the relationship that the rowers have to the person in the back of the boat. So our walk with God, our faith, is a lot like that. As we look to Christ and we trust in him, he will lead us and guide us and even equip us. Scripture says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So, how are we doing with that? How are we keeping our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus today? Many of us say that Jesus is our number one priority, right? God first. Sometimes I don't think that's what our actions show. Lifeway, the company that writes and publishes a lot of our Bibles, surveyed more than 3,000 churchgoers in the Midwest and Protestants and found that 90%, a pretty high number, 90% of people desire and honor and want to please God in all they do. It's a good thing to say as a Christian. But out of those 90%, 19% of people personally read their Bible every day. 19% of people read their Bible. I would argue that it's actually lower. 19%, that's pathetic. How can we truly make an impact for Jesus if we don't even invest time into reading what he says? If he is our number one priority, then why is it that we have a hard time carving out time for him? But Pastor, you just don't understand. My life is just so busy. Okay, maybe it is. So why is your number one priority, God, the one that first gets cut? If God is most important in our lives, shouldn't he be the last thing that gets cut in our schedules? Shouldn't Netflix get cut before Jesus? Shouldn't prayers be more important than social media posts? Ladies, isn't spending time with the one who had nails pierced through his hands and feet for you more important than getting your nails done? Guys, shouldn't God come before hunting or fishing? I know it's convenient to, and maybe even comfortable to leave your family every now and then and get out there in nature. Now hold on a second. I'm not just saying that it's not wrong to watch Netflix, or it's not wrong to have a social media account. It's not wrong to get your nails done and make sure that they're pretty. Ladies, I don't think guys care about him as much as the women do, just so you know. It's okay that people go hunting and fishing. Those are good things. But what I'm saying is that none of the good things in life end up being good if they take the place of the one that should be on the throne of your heart. And that's Jesus. Good things in life can become bad things when they become God things in your heart. They say what goes in will come out. That's true with what you eat. If you eat burgers and bacon every day, you're probably not going to be that healthy, right? If you eat kale, you're going to be healthy, but you might be miserable. It's a choice that you have to make. If you spend your time hanging around drug addicts, that behavior is going to come out. If you spend your time hanging around with a Bible study group, it'll come out. If you spend your time with Jesus in prayer, it'll come out in your everyday life. And that's what this challenge is all about. Spend time and be with Jesus, and then you will do like Jesus. But I just still don't have time, Pastor. Now, I believe all of us highly exaggerate how busy our lives really are in this world. Why do I say this? Well, because on average, people watch more than 4 hours of television a day. People are on their phones 2 to 3 hours a day, if not more. People can still manage and keep their dozen social media accounts active. It's not a time issue, friends. It's a priority issue that we all must keep. But people feel tired. Maybe that's you. People feel exhausted. People feel those things because we are not getting true rest. What goes in will come out. Sometimes we are filling our life with things and people that ultimately cannot give you rest. But Jesus says this today in our reading for this morning. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What does that mean? You do the things that will get you close to him. You come to church regularly. You make it a priority. You don't schedule your church time around baseball. You don't schedule Disney ahead of church. You just don't. You say no. Jesus is more important than Mickey Mouse. We read our Bible. We intentionally schedule time in our day, or you follow a reading plan to read maybe the Bible in a year or the New Testament in a year. Some sort of plan that gets you in the Bible on a regular basis. And you hold yourself accountable with other people in your life. You make it intentional. We pray. Part of being is by praying. We start with 1 minute. If we're not a regular prayer, start with 1 minute in the beginning of your day or at the end of your day. And once you've done that, next week try 2 minutes. You write down your prayer requests if you need help focusing. Journal it. You can download an app on your phone that reminds you when to pray. You can even sign up on a prayer journal in the back of our church and write down a prayer. And guess what? Our elder of the day will read your prayer out loud in front of church. We be with Christ when we maybe listen to worship music. Some people like different types of music, and that's okay. Today we feature different music in today's worship. But rather than maybe always listening to whatever the top 40 hits are in the world out there, maybe consider on your commute back home today, consider a Christian song. Consider humming a song that you heard today. Part of our week of being means to take your Sabbath. As a pastor, I have a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week job to always be ready and willing to help. But I'm also provided and expected to take a day off. Jesus says, and even the creation of the world, God created the world in 6 days and took the 7th day to rest. So we take our Sabbath. We intentionally schedule this day not for work. We say, I'm not working this day. I'm using this day to rest. The phone's not in the room. It's silent. The screens are off. It's just you and him. You can do this every week. If somebody asks to meet with you on your time of rest, your Sabbath, say no, I'm busy. If somebody really needs you that day, say no, because I need God more than you need me right now. Now, if you do those things I mentioned above, you will have prioritized Jesus finally in your schedule. And then we can find rest, just like he has said. You'll be able to start, and not just start, but finish. Friends, today, know that God did not send me to be your pastor. He did not start this church only to see us fall short and give up on being with him. He sent us to finish what he started. And whatever God finishes, he starts. And whatever God starts, he finishes. You may start some things and not finish, just like me. But God, what he starts, he finishes. We know as Easter people that Jesus went all the way to the cross, not holding on to anything else except for the hope and joy set before him. And he gave everything until he uttered those words, "It is finished." Our God is a finisher, and he finished it by giving everything he had. He gave it all so that we, as his followers, can give it all as well. So, if God has started a new relationship of faith with him in you, he has already given you enough grace and will give you enough grace to see you all the way through. If God has started a marriage for you, he will give you the strength and reconciliation and forgiveness needed to carry that marriage on year after year. If God has blessed you with children, he will give you the direction and purpose and vision for raising your kids. If God has started you on a path of recovery, of healing, he will give you the power needed to combat the temptations of this world. And if Jesus has started this church to reach our village, our city for Jesus, he will give us, believe it, he will give us the power, the people, and the resources to make it happen. And if he has started maybe a small movement like the Red Letter Challenge to finally get us in his word, if he started a movement where people put his words into practice and to finally change the picture we're representing of him, Jesus will give us the strength to finish. Know this week of being, that he is a God that finishes no matter what happens. People tried stopping Jesus. They put him on a cross. They nailed him there. They buried him in a ground. And God said, "No, I'm not done yet. You don't get to tell God when he's finished. I'll finish this on my own strength." And he rose from the dead. He defeated death, sin, and the devil. And now our risen Savior welcomes you. He welcomes you into redeeming and restoring the world one soul at a time with him. So during this week of being, let's do this. Let's first start by being with him. Today in this week's challenges, you can see in your worship bulletin, starting today, open your Bible. At some point today, open your Bible when you go home today and hear from God. Start right at home. Tomorrow, spend some time in prayer. Tuesday, use music to worship God. Wednesday, find some time in solitude. Thursday, go on a fast. Friday, celebrate. It's Friday. Have a fish fry if you want. And on Saturday, take a day off. And when you do, we will see God at work in your life in this week of being. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and the one's true faith into life everlasting. Amen.